Our love to God must not merely be in a small degree, but it must exist in a vigorous flame. It must be seen from far away. It must shine without any kind of obstruction. Our spirit must be kept warmly, zealous, burning, affectionate. Our spiritual nature is to glow like coals of fire. The keystone of the arch of life is to be a desire for God's glory. At this point, the public and the private, the bodily and the spiritual, are to be as one, both in business diligence and spiritual fervency. We are to set the Lord always before us. Our everyday labor is to be consecrated into priestly sacrifice. Our inward fervor is to be like temple incense, and so our bodies being temples of the Holy Spirit. We are ever to remain serving the Lord. My aim in this sermon, and this is C.H. Spurgeon talking, will be to call upon my believing brothers and sisters to fill in their lives the meaning of the words which we have now selected as our text, serving the Lord, as it might be rendered, doing the parts of servants towards God. Servitizing. Now, Spurgeon invented that word, I think, because I could not find it in a previous dictionary. Waiting as servants upon the Most High, servitizing. He was the first Ising guy I know in recorded scriptures or in written text. You got Martin Ising, you got some other kind of Isings out there, but servitizing, I was impressed how far ahead of his time Mr. Spurgeon was. The title of my sermon is The Servant Christian, and that is why I chose it not to be the Christian servant, because God has called us to be a servant. Service is paramount to how he would have us be in his presence, his servant. Four steps to becoming a successful servant of God. If I were to ask you this morning, give me the simplest definition of a Christian, what would you think of? What could you say? And no fair looking at my scripture. Okay, here's a hint. What I'm seeking here is a follower of Christ. That is the true definition. A simple definition of Christian is to be a follower of Christ. In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus is walking by the Sea of Galilee and he sees Simon Peter and his brother Andrew and he says to them, "Come follow me." Jesus said, "And I will make you fishers of men." The scripture goes on to say that Jesus went along the beach a little further and he saw two brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, and they were in a boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. He called to them. And immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. My goodness, they left their father to follow a new father. Matthew 4:19-22 in the NIV. A simple definition of a Christian is a follower of Christ. Jesus also said in Matthew 16:24, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up the cross and follow me." Denying yourself. You have set aside your ego and you have put your entire presence, your mortal body, in the hands of God, and you have followed him. That's a huge step and a huge obligation. What does following Christ involve? It involves becoming a servant of Christ. Look at verse 26 from John chapter 12 with me. "If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor." From the NKJV. Jesus called his followers servants. If you are truly striving to be a follower of Jesus, if you are striving to be a successful follower of Christ, you must become a servant. As Christians, we should all want to be successful servants of God. How do you become a successful servant, you might ask? Here are four steps I'm going to share with you. But first, I'd like to tell you a quick story about Alice Irie. She is a lady who has passed into the arms of Jesus Christ some years past. She lived on the Colville Nation, and she served God fervently. She served him fervently. She had many friends in the church, many Christian followers as well that she abided with. And she left a legacy with them. And I wear one of those legacies right now. It's a simple cross, beaded, hung on buckskin. It was presented to me and one just like it to Mr. Wilson when we were on a project over in OMAC this past year. We didn't expect a gift of any sort, but we received this legacy of service from her, even though she had passed from her good friend, who had held them for a special time to be presented to some others. She came to us and she had these in her hand and she said, "I hope you won't be offended if I give you this gift." I told her, "Praise the good Lord that you gave us this gift, for we will wear it, and we will wear it as servants, and we will wear it proudly, and we thank you very much." So I bring Alice Irie to church with me today. Hopefully she's well pleased. Develop a servant mentality would be your first step. This is the first step in becoming a successful servant. You must have a mentality that says, "My purpose on earth is to serve God." You must realize that God is in charge. You must realize your position in life. You must change your way of thinking from me-centered to him thinking. From me-centered to thinking to him-centered thinking. This world does not revolve around you or I. Everything that happens in the world is not about us. You are here to serve God. There is no other way around that. Your pattern of thinking should reflect a servant mentality. Please follow along with me in Matthew 10:24. I'm going to go to the scriptures over and over and over again. And I hope that you all will take an opportunity to go and reflect on them later individually. And really enjoy getting into the book of Matthew and a few other portions that I have provided. A student is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. God calls us to service in so many fashions in the scripture. We cannot ignore him. Matthew 10:24 in the NIV was the form of that passage. The question is, who do you think you are? You're not the boss of the universe. You're not the master of the world. Your thinking should say, "I am the servant of the King. Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the creator of the universe. He set the stars in place and controls the universe by his power. He is above all and in all and at the end of time, the beginning of eternity. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that he is Lord." And do I get one little amen out of everybody? Yes. Yes. The Baptist in me rises. I spent it there in my youth. But that passage there had to be read quickly. It had to be read boldly. It had to be asking for that acclamation. It commanded that acclamation. It commanded that service. A successful servant will reflect this fact in their thinking. A successful servant will give of their time, resources, energy, money, expertise, etc., 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 to glorify God. To glorify God. Jesus becomes the center of a servant's actions, the center of their motives. The servant's purpose for living is to please him. The successful servant gives all that they have for the glory of God. The second step to becoming a successful servant is to have a determination to serve. You will never hear the word determined or determination used more in a sermon except for in the following. Can you remember the last time you used determined in a sentence of your own? Think about that for a second. It is not just enough to have a servant's mentality. You must be determined to serve. You must be determined to help. What does determined look like? Well, we're going to look at 2 Corinthians 8:1-4 in the NIV. "And now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they have gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this servant to the saints." Now, the churches in Macedonia had an awesome determination to help. Nothing was going to keep these churches from helping. Not the affliction that they were suffering, not the poverty they found themselves in. They were determined to help. Do you know what I have found? I found that there are three types of givers. First type of giver are those who, because they can. They have an abundance and they give out of that abundance. The second type of giver are those who are able to give but don't. Now that's a conundrum. They do certainly have enough to give for whatever reason they don't give. Perhaps it's because they have not taken the first step of a servant. They still have a me-centered mentality rather than a Christ-centered mentality. And the third type of giver are those givers who have very little but give all that they have. They give sacrificially. And I hold up the Church of Macedonia as the perfect example of that. Determined sacrifice. That's exactly what God calls us to. Determined sacrifice. Determined will never seem the same in any sense you see it in the future. Every time that you see the word determined, determined, or determination, you'll think God's determination that we be sacrificial. Follow along with me in Mark 12. Jesus sat down at Mark 12, that'd be verse 41 to begin with. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a fraction of a penny. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, I tell you the truth. I always loved when Jesus said, I tell you the truth, as if he couldn't tell anything else. This poor widow has put more into the treasury than all others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she out of her poverty. I call back to you the church in Macedonia. Put in everything. All she had to live on. Jesus recognizes determined. You'll notice in my notes, determined's not in there, but I put it in my notes later. Determined sacrificial givers. Determined. If you want to be a successful servant of God, you must develop a determination to be of help. Give of your time, give of your energy, give of your resources, give of yourself. Now that's the hardest part. Give of yourself. Give of yourself. Give of your time, give of your energy, give of your resources, but give of yourself. The scripture says God loves a cheerful giver, so do it with a smile. When you're giving, put that smile right out there so people can see exactly how you approach that giving. You are determined to be cheerful. Have determination to help. That's what God calls you. Have that determination to help. The third step to becoming a successful servant of God. I can't say this fast with a dry mouth and I don't have any water. Okay. The third step to becoming a successful servant of God is metered response. Commit to the following God. Every one of us sitting here today is following something or someone. Some of us listen to friends' advice. Others listen to the opinions of the so-called experts. Some of us follow family customs. Others perhaps follow the accepted social norm. But all of us are following something. Thank you, Craig. Refreshed. Thank you, my brother, for the water. Here is the simple rule. A successful servant of God follows God. Okay, does everybody got that? A successful servant who's determined follows God. That's it. Well, I could probably just walk away right now and say we're done, but I've got a whole bunch more to go. So, and a whole lot of time. Hot dog. What does it take to follow God? Folks, this is not rocket science. Let me tell you what it takes to follow God in only four words. Only four words does it take to follow God. Do what he says. It's that simple. Do what he, open up the Bible, look at it. He's got it written there for you. It's in black and white and sometimes in red letter. You know, big, big print for old guys like me and Larry. Here's a key point I want you to listen to carefully. Folks, you will never be a successful servant of God if you don't do what he tells you to do. The scripture tells us, and follow along with me in James 1:22, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. My goodness, that's not a platitude. That is foundational. Do what it says. And to follow involves three things: trust, obedience, and rest. Trust and obey. Trust and obey. How many times did you hear that hymn in church? Trust, obedience, and risk. Risk, you're probably going, huh? Risk? Well, do you remember the story that Jesus told in Matthew chapter 25? It goes something like this. Again, it will be like a man going in a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. He gave one 5 talents of money, the other 2 talents, and the other 1 talent, each according to their ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once, put that money to work, and gained 5 more. As did the gentleman with 2 talents. He went and took that money and gained 2 more. But the man who had received one, he went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid it. He took his master's money, dug a hole in the ground, and buried it, and left it there. After a long time, the master came home. He returned to settle accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with the 2 talents came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I gained 2 more. His master replied, well done and good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received the 1 talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you were a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you, and I give it to you at this time. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. Whoa, that's a rebuke. You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed? Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with bankers so that when I returned I would have received back interest at least. Taking the talent from him and give it to one of those that has the 10 talents. For everyone who has given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even when he has, will to be taken. Even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there it will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So, he buried it in a hole, and he was doomed to weeping and gnashing. Why is that? A successful follower of God will trust that God is in charge, obey God's word. He will walk in faith. What does that require? Well, walking in faith requires taking a bit of risk. And that last servant took no risk whatsoever. Took none whatsoever. Stepped not out of his comfort zone out of mere mortal fear. Had no faith in God because certainly he had put all his faith in what his master he thought would do. What is the fourth step in becoming a successful servant of God? Start serving where you are. Where are you at, Jim? Are you back there in that chair? Okay, well that's exactly where you are. Ron, same with you. Ralph, Wayne, Sybil, Pastor Dan, young man without a name. Rick, hi Rick. My name is Craig and I apologize. Wash that hand, I have a cold. Where you are. Many people are waiting for the right time and the right place to start serving. What are you waiting for? Get off your duffs. Where you're at, do it. For crying out loud. That wasn't in the notes. Let me tell you, the right time to serve is now. The right places to serve is where you are. The minute you start meeting the needs around you, you become what? A servant. Hold it. A determined servant. Now, the minute you start meeting the needs around you, you become a servant. So, let's listen to Matthew 25. Starting with verse 31. When the Son of Man, in His glory, comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, He will sit on His throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on His right and the goats on His left. Why can't goats be on the right? I never can understand that. I'm left-handed. Then the king will say to those on His right, "Come, you who are blessed by My Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared you for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave Me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave Me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited Me in. I needed clothes and you clothed Me. I was sick and I passed it on." And you looked after Me. "I was in prison and you came to visit Me." Then the righteous will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" The king will reply, "I'll tell you the truth. Whatever you did for the one of the least of these brothers of Mine, you did for Me." Then he will say to those on His left, Depart from Me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave Me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave Me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite Me in. I needed clothes and you did not clothe Me. I was sick and in prison and you did not look after Me. They also will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you?" He will reply, "I will tell you the truth. Whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for Me." Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. That was Matthew 25, 31 through 46 in the NIV. Did you notice one group were pretty successful servants and the other group wasn't? Successful servants serve. They serve where they are because that should be their nature. Here is a simple rule. I want you to find good workers. Find people who are hard at work. Good workers, they work. The same is true of servants. Good servants, they serve. Successful servants serve where they are. You do not have to go halfway around the world, except for you, Amelia, to find people in need. All you have to do is look at the person next to you. You got to look at him, Deb. Look at him. There we go. Thank you. Jesus is looking for servants who serve. Someday I want Jesus to say these words to me. "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." Don't you want Jesus to say those words to you? Develop a servant's mentality with determination. Have that determination to serve. Commit to following God by doing what He says in the dark of the night, while you are asleep, or in the light of the day, where your eyes behold what He has presented before you, to reach out and be of service to or for or on behalf of. Start serving today, right where you are. Amen.